Here, a thought regarding this week's parasha, which, although it's, I'm gonna extrapolate from this week's parasha, it really doesn't have very much to do with this week's parasha. Nonetheless, due to the importance of the concept, I think it's important that we should all hear it. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, in the very beginning, the Torah tells us something which on the surface is very difficult to understand. The story that went was as follows. At the end of Parshas Balak, we were told that there seems to have been some Avodah Zarah going on. The Torah says, Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim Vayochalom Liznos El Benos Mo'av. It starts off with Znos, but it quickly snowballs into Avodah Zarah. Vatikrena la'om lezivchei Eloheihem, vayecha la'om vayishtachavu le'Eloheihem, vayitzomed Yisrael leva'al po'or, vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. So, although the story started with Znus, you see from what the Torah says in Pasuk Gimel over there at the end of Parshas Balak, that the anger that we have to deal with is not in terms of the Znus per se, but rather in terms of the Avodah Zarah that went hand in hand with the Znus. Vayitzomed Yisrael leva'al po'or, vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. And again, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives the instructions in Pasuk Hey, Vayemer Moshe El Shoftei Yisrael, Hirgu Ish Anashav Hanitzmadim Leval Por. Right? Avodah Zarah. Yet, the story that this week's parsha is going to be focusing on is much more back to the Znus. V'hine ish mi b'nei Yisrael ba, v'yakrev el echodas ha-midyonis l'inei Moshe u'l'inei kol adas b'nei Yisrael. And what happens? Pinchas sees what's going on, and he follows them into the tent, and he kills them there. V'teyotzar ha-magefa me'al b'nei Yisrael. And the magefa that had started, even though the Torah never told us that it had started, but it was implied in the words v'yichar af Hashem b'Yisrael, that magefa that started now came to a halt. Now I want to just take a pause over here and explain what I'm saying regarding the Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. If the Torah has not told us that there is a magefa, then it does seem strange that suddenly we should be told about a magefa that ended if we had never been told that it had started. That's just strange. And therefore, there has to be some sort of mention or some sort of reference to the beginning of the Magefa somewhere in the story. What I'm suggesting is that is from the words Vayichar af Hashem Yisrael. Why am I suggesting that? Because, if you're ready, please turn back to Parsha Shmos. In Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. The Torah over here is describing Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu's conversation when Hashem was sending Moshe Rabbeinu down and Moshe Rabbeinu was refusing to go. So after a lot of the back and forth and back and forth, Moshe again says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayemer bi Hashem, shalachno biyat tishlach. Send him somebody else. And then, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayemer, and he says to him, Haloi Aharon Achicha Halevi, etc. I'm going to... Aaron will be the one who speaks, you go. And Rashi over here brings down a very, very important yesod in terms of understanding the whole idea of anger altogether when it is used in reference to the Bayre. Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Zvachim, Vayichar Af, everybody have it?
Yeah.
Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho Imer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho says, Kol Charoin Af Shabbatira, wherever you find charon af, anger, that is being used as a description in regards to Hashem in the Torah, ne'emar b'yreishem. It always has the indication of that anger stated. Ne'emar b'yreishem, stated by it, is the indication of that anger. Now, why does Rabbi Shua tell us this? Rabbi Shua ben Korcha says it's because he's troubled that in this one, Vayichar Af Hashem b'Moshe, v'zeh loin ne'emar b'Reishim. Here, we don't find any description of the indication. Nor do we find that any penalty resulted from this anger. And that's very troubling to Rabbi Shua ben Korcha. Now, why is it so troubling to Rabbi Shua ben Korcha? It's troubling to him because he started off making a premise or a posit. And what was the posit? That kol charein av sheba teira ne'amar b'reishim, that wherever the Torah says that Hashem was angry, stated with it will be the indication. And here, there is no indication. And so he's bothered. But you understand that the whole problem is only self-created. He made this posit that wherever Charon Af appears, the indication will be stated. Since he made that posit, now he has a problem. Here you have a case where it did not happen. Well, why don't you just say then that clearly this disproves your posit? Right? It's not like the Torah said explicitly that wherever you find mention of Hashem and anger, knoweth, thoweth, thatteth, there will beeth an indication of. Torah doesn't say that. Rabbi Shimon Korcha said that. Once he said that, now he has a problem. Because here it's not so. So I understand. How does that work? Why is that correct? You make a posit based on, I'm assuming, based on things that you see in the Torah. So then if you see that it is not so in the Torah, so then obviously your posit was incorrect. So then it's not so. So then you don't ask on the posit that you yourself made based on something which disproves the posit. Right? So the whole flow over here just doesn't work. Clearly, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, when he makes the posit, wasn't making this posit based on things that he had seen in the Torah. He was making this posit based on some objective fact. And therefore, indeed, when we come across a case in the Torah where it is not so, it does indeed pose a problem. Now, why would this be an objective fact? The simple answer is because there's no such thing as anger by the Bayre. Because Hashem doesn't have emotions. Clearly, the usage of an emotion is merely an appellation. And what does that mean that it's an appellation? It means that we see a response that in our experience we associate with anger. Therefore, we can now use that appellation of anger vis-a-vis Hashem. That's the yesod for all appellations. Therefore, it is objectively so that if the Torah says that Hashem got angry, since we know that that can't possibly mean true anger because Hashem does not suffer from emotions, all that it could mean is anger in its appellation use, which means that there has to be something that I am observing so that I can then detect the type of experience which in my personal experience I associate with the emotion called anger. That's the objective background to any appellation. Therefore, says Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, any time that the Torah says that Hashem got angry, it has to state the indication. Because if there is no indication, then how could you say he got angry? Because we only are able to use the appellation of anger based on how it is that we translate the indication into our own terms. That's the whole definition of an appellation, right? I take a look at what's happening. I translate what's happening into the terms that I would use in my existence, in my experiences. And now I apply that term back onto Hashem. Right? That's the yisayit of an appellation. Memela says, Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, it has to be that any time the Torah says Vayichar Af, that Ne'emar Bay Simon, that the indication will be written. Therefore, he has a very significant problem. Here, the Torah says Vayichar Af Hashem B'Moshe, and there does not seem to be any indication of it. How then could we have translated the experience into our terms so as to use the appellation of Vayichar Af? That's Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha's question. And that is actually a very, very significant question. And so, Amar lo Rabbi Yosi resolves this very, very severe theological problem. For indeed, Hashem doesn't have anger. And if there is no indication, then how did we translate the experience into the appellation? That's a significant and serious theological challenge. So we really do need an answer. Says Rabbi Yossi, no, we do have an answer. Af bezu nemar b'reishim, here too, even in this case where Hashem got angry at Moshe, we do see the indication. What's the indication? That Aaron is referred to here as a Levi. Why is he referred to here as a Levi? Because up until now, he was merely a Levi. But from this moment on, he will become the Kohen Gadol. For Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to be Kohen Gadol. That was taken away from him and given to Aaron. That's the indication. Right? The fact that the Kohuna Gedolah had been taken away from Moshe Rabbeinu, that's an experience. Right? That's an event. That's a thing. Now we have to translate that thing into our terms. So I say, I gave you a candy, but you were such a bad boy, I'm taking the candy away. Oh, what does that mean? How would we translate that into our terms? What would we call that? Anger. Very good. Now we can apply that appellation back on Tasha. That's Rabbi Yossi's resolution to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha's serious theological problem. Does everybody understand everything that I just said? Okay? You understand that this fact alone, just this fact alone, stand alone is very, very important, just this, to understand just this Rashi and what it is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is doing. Good. But this in the background, let's go back now to Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak in over here in that pasuk Gimel, Vayitzameg Yisrael leva'al pa'or, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael. And so the Jewish people adhered themselves to Baal Pa'or. How did they translate Vayitzameg, Libby? Pasuk Gimel.
They became attached.
Okay. Yisrael got attached to the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'or, and Hashem was angry. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael. Okay, where is the Roshem? Where's the indication? What is the event that we are observing, translating into our own terms, so as to be able to now plug into it the appellation of Vayicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael? Where is it? What is it? Doesn't say anything. Where is it? Why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha have a problem with this one? So I'm suggesting that once the Torah tells us that in Pasuk Ches, Vate'otzar ha-mageifa me'al b'nei Yisrael, that the mageifa came to an end, it ceased, even though the Torah never told us that it started, which is in itself a very big problem. I was like, how does that work? The Torah just... The answer is, Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. That's where the Torah tells us that the mageifa started. That was the indication. A mageifa came. Okay, a mageifa comes. We translate the mageifa into our terms, and what would we then call that?
Anger.
Very good. So, Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael is the way that the Torah tells us that the mageifa started. Is this a fair explanation? Yes. So now like this. The mageifa started, if I'm right, then the mageifa started in response to what? Vayitzamed Yisrael leval por, right? What caused the mageifa to stop? Pinchas having killed Zimri and Cosby. But Zimri and Cosby was not Avodah Zarah. Zimri and Cosby was back to the Znus. And so we seem to be jumping back and forth. In Pasuk Aleph, we're told that the issue over here is Znus. But Pasuk Aleph very quickly modifies into Pasuk Beis, which tells us that the Avodah Zarah was really the problem. The Avodah Zarah was such a big problem that it created this reaction that we now are able to call anger. And what was that reaction? The Mageifa, right? That's what we're calling the anger. That's the Mageifa. Then we go to Pasuk Vav, and we're back to Znus. Right? There's no indication that in the Cosby-Zimri story, Avodah Zarah was at play, but rather the Znus was at play. Haraya, Pinchas doesn't go ahead and kill Zimri for being David Avodah Zarah, because if that was the case, then why is he killing Cosby? So he's obviously killing Zimri and Cosby for the Znus element. So much so that Chazal even say, regarding the word ve'es ha'isha el kavasa, take a look at Rashi in Ches. El Kavasa, Kemay Halachayim Va'akeva, that he stabbed, right? He used the spear and he stabbed Zimri and Cosby directly into the abdomen, Kavasa, into her abdomen. Why? Why did he do it that way? Why not just lop off their heads? Explains Rashi, quoting from Chazal, of course. Kiven b'seich zachru shel Zimri v'nakvu shela, that he took aim that the spear should go right through their actual sexual intercourse. Why? V'ra'u kulam, so that everybody should see shelo l'chinam hargam, that it wasn't for naught that he killed them. Meaning everybody would see from where it is that the spear was piercing through the two of them, right? Right through their abdomen, which is the actual intercourse, right? The actual organs of the body that were engaged in this Aser Znus. And now everybody could see that he didn't kill them for nothing. So why did he kill them? If I'm supposed to be able to see why it is that he killed them, and the way that I'm going to see it is by him piercing them directly through those specific organs, clearly why did he kill them? For the znus, because that doesn't prove anything about Aveda Zara. Right? Yeah. Doesn't prove it. Very good. So he's killing them for the znus, not for the Aveda Zara. And yet, Vateyotzara Magefa, Me'al B'nei Yisrael, the Magefa, which we just proved, started not from the znus aspect, but rather from the Aveda Zara aspect, now comes to an end. Does everybody hear what's bothering me here? Jonathan, you understand what my problem is?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a good question?
Yes.
I think so. I think it's a very serious problem. The Torah has to make up its mind. So, yes, what we'll answer is, of course, the Znus and the Avodah Zarah were so intimately, no pun intended, so intimately associated over here, that indeed they are, to a very great degree, interchangeable. Meaning the Avodah Zarah wasn't because of a desire to worship Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah was merely out of a desire to have the Znus. So the Znus became the catalyst for the Avodah Zarah, but the Avodah Zarah really isn't Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is really Znus. That's what you're going to say. And there's truth to that. Certainly the way Chazal described the way that these women did their magic, that's exactly what it was. First, they seduced the guy. And you know how it is. Once a guy is like in the throes of it, there's virtually nothing he won't do in order to get to the end of it. That we all know. Good. So they used seduction. Once they got the man seduced, now they're able to also get him to be Eved Avodah Zarah. Okay. And there's truth to that. And I'm not minimizing the truth that there is to it. But nonetheless, the Torah seems to be making very clear distinctions between the two parts of this, even if you want to call it one event, right? Znus slash Avodah Zarah. Nonetheless, the Torah is being very, very, it's almost like slicing it with a knife and putting it into two separate places. Vayitzamed Yisrael leval pa'ar, right? That's very clearly highlighting the Avodah Zarah part, even though it might be that the Znus was the catalyst for it. L'maisa, the Torah is highlighting that they were attached to Avodah Zarah, which is way more than just, okay, I'll do whatever it takes in order to get the girl. And the Vayicharaf Hashem Bisrael is going back on the Avodah Zarah. And so somehow or another, which remains to be seen, Pinchas, having stabbed Zimri and Cosby in such a way that makes it clear that their death was for the Znus, manages to put a halt to the Magefa, which the Torah makes clear was in response to the Avodah Zarah. Fine. Then we open up with this week's parsha. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Limar. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen Heshiv es Chamasim Me'al B'nei Yisrael Bekano es Kinosi B'Seichon. Pinchas ben Elazar, he managed to hold back my anger from the Jewish people when he acted in the way that he acted on my behalf. Now, what anger is Hashem referring to when he says over here, Eschamasi, Heshiv Eschamasi, he, how do they translate it? pulled back, reversed it.
Turned it back. Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind if we just use reversed instead? Okay. So he reversed my anger. What anger are we talking about over here when we say es chamasi? Is this a different anger than the one that the Torah described previously, or is this the same anger? Let's say it's the same anger. And so he managed to turn it away from being upon the Jewish people. And how did he do that? Bekano es kinasi b'seichan. Through his acting in the way that he did on my behalf. He was zealous. How do you translate it?
He zealously avenged my vengeance.
Okay. He zealously avenged my vengeance in their midst, and that reversed Hashem's anger. And so we have to wonder, what exactly is the Torah describing over here? Did the rest of Klal Yisrael immediately get like the wake-up call with Pinchas's strike, and therefore they stopped doing what they were doing? Is that what it was? Meaning he took that initial step, which acted as a massive punch in the face for everybody else, right? Person gets caught up in themselves. Sometimes the only way to get them to stop is to shake them from it, because they're so in the delusion or whatever it is that they're in, right? Their fantasy world. That the only way you can get them out of their fantasy world is you have to shake them out of it. You know, like these people, they go like into hysterics, and so what you do is you punch them, give them a slap across the face in order to stop the hysterics, right? Because it knocks them out of the psychotic world that they're in. So here too, everybody got caught up in this psychosis, this insane world where the znus was literally taking over their brains, and the only way to get them out of it was to shake them up. And so Pinchas goes in and he does a massive patch, and now everybody's been shaken out of their trance, so to speak, and now they all stopped. Is that what the Torah is describing? Is that what happened? Is that how this went down? Perhaps. It could be that that's what happened. Then you would have to wonder, though, why is it that the anger gets reversed, gets turned away because of Pinchas? The anger doesn't get reversed because of Pinchas. It gets reversed because now everybody has stopped. And I'm assuming that if they're stopping, they're also doing teshuva, right? If you don't do teshuva, then the stopping didn't really do much. So you have to assume that they're also doing teshuva. So let's assume just for now that that's what happened, right? So the Bekanoi Eskinasi, with him zealously avenging my vengeance, he was able to bring Klal Yisrael back to, let's call it reality, right? To get them out of their dream, out of their trance, and to snap them back to reality. And the moment that they were awakened again to reality, so they stopped doing what they were doing, right? They got out of the zone, and so they went back to reality, and they stopped doing what they were doing. And that fact in itself was sufficient in order for the anger to be turned away. Whatever the explanation is, however it works, one thing is for sure, that we see that it's not just in the stopping that makes the difference, but it's more in the reacting that makes the difference. And I'll explain what I mean. A person could theoretically be doing something wrong and then stop. For example, you buy yourself a cheeseburger and you eat the cheeseburger. That's doing something wrong, right? But now you finished the cheeseburger. There's none left. So you stopped. You're not eating a cheeseburger anymore. Why not? Because it's not there anymore, because it's all finished. Fine, but you stop. That's not the same thing as I'm reacting, and that's what causes the stop. I buy the cheeseburger, I take a bite, and suddenly I say to myself, oh my gosh, if Rebbe would see me now, what would he do? He would kill me. I can't do this. And you push it away. Now you also stopped, right? Good, but this is a very different stop than that stop. Even at the end of the day, this guy's not eating the burger, guy's not eating any more burger, right? In either case, both cases, the guy's not eating any more burger. But you understand that they're very, very different. Right? So it's not the stopping, but rather it's the reacting. The reacting is what makes all of the difference. And so therefore, the fact that Yisrael stopped, if it is in response to Pinchas, does make very good sense now. Because what happened was, is somebody reacts, and in resulting from that reaction, now comes a stopping. Does anybody hear the difference? It's a very, very, it's a massive difference. And so Mamela, when one stops because of a reaction, for some reason, what the Torah is telling us over here is that due to the reaction, not even the consequence of the reaction, right? Because nowhere does it say that the Jewish people stop. That's just, I guess, in between the lines, right? Let me explain what I mean by that. It doesn't make sense to imagine that Pinchas did what he did, and everybody else is still busy with Avodah Zarah and Znus, and Hashem says, oh, okay, fine, Pinchas did what he did, so all is good, right? Can we agree to that? Right. So then what does it mean? It means Pinchas did what he did. As a result of that, obviously things changed. And now the anger could be turned away. Right? So it's in response to the reaction that Pinchas has. That's what causes the stoppage. Now the stopping has happened, but it happened only because of the reaction. Right? All those guys who had already finished with those girls, we're not going to say about them that they stopped because they finished. So who are we talking about? We're talking about the general movement, like the general boiling that was going on, right? The whole psychosis, the trance that the people were in. That is what suddenly came to a halt. And what made that come to a halt? The fact that somebody reacted. And so the reaction triggered like a wake-up call. The trance was broken, and now everybody comes back and go, whoa, stop, what are we doing here? This is ridiculous, and they push it all away. And so Hashem is basically describing something. Yes, it is a specific event that went down in a specific way, but it's much more than that. Hashem is describing how it is that His anger and our actions work together. That is to say, how the indications of Hashem's anger, what we would call din, His judgment, and the way that we react have a very, very delicate interplay one with the other. Does everybody understand what I just said? Yes? Now, many years ago, probably around 20 at this point already, I explained the idea of what we talk about when we say during the Yomim Noraim, regarding the Yomim Noraim, that the blowing of the shofar is mebalbel b'satan. That the blowing of the shofar somehow causes confusion for the satan and he loses track of what he was doing and all of that. And the questions on that chazal are so obvious they don't even need to be repeated. Everybody is troubled, I'm sure, in the same way. And in that shir, I pointed out that the Satan isn't a creature, like a little devil that floats around and does all sorts of nasty things. The Satan is a state of affairs where everything that one does carries consequences. There's no such thing as an action not having consequences. All actions must have consequences. Now, those consequences could either be l'tov, or those consequences could be l'mutov. When an action is the type of action that its consequences are negative, That means that there is now an open state of that negativity that needs to be dealt with, what we would refer to as prosecution. Right? If I go ahead and I do something that is wrong, that requires being dealt with. The consequences of that are open. They don't just go away because I ate my cheeseburger. Good, so now there's no more cheeseburger. So now the fact that I ate the cheeseburger goes away. No, it's still out there. The consequence of your action is still out there, and it needs to be dealt with. That it needs to be dealt with, right? That it needs to be dealt with is what we refer to when we say the satan. Because the satan means the prosecutional state of affairs. That's what a satan is. It is either the prosecutor or the prosecutional state of affairs that your actions have now left things at. What's the state of affairs right now? The state of affairs right now are prosecutional. Why are they prosecutional? Very simple. Because you did something wrong, which needs to be dealt with. This is, to me, very, very simple. Does everybody hear it clearly? Now, there are two choices. Choice number one is that you react and thereby deal with that prosecutional state. What's choice number two? What would be choice number two? You don't. Okay, and if you don't, then what? Now it goes away? So now what? Oh, very simple. Now the state will step in and prosecute on their behalf. You go, you smash somebody's car. So either you could pull over to the side of the road with the guy, exchange information, and make sure that your insurance company pays his insurance company, or you drive off. Now, if you pulled over to the side of the road and you exchange information, does it ever go to court? No. If you drive off, where does it go? To court. Why? Very simple. You smashed his car. Okay, that creates a state of affairs. That state of affairs requires prosecution. It has to be dealt with. So now you have two choices. You could either deal with it yourself, but if you don't, then the prosecutor will step in and deal with it for you. But it doesn't just go away. It's still there. It will be there until it is dealt with. Until that victim of your smashing of the car gets the money that you owe them, it's out there. And therefore, it is in an open state of prosecution until either you deal with it yourself or the state steps in and deals with it for you. As in, not for you. Right? Those are the only two choices. It's exactly the same thing. A person does an aveira, now there's the state of affairs is, it's open for prosecution. It's no different than you smash that guy's car. You ate the cheeseburger, in our analogy is, you smashed the guy's car. Okay, now you have two choices. You can either pull over to the side of the road and deal with that on your own, and if you don't, then what's going to happen? The prosecutor will deal with it. But it's not just going to go away. Memela, when a person does teshuvah, it's not that teshuvah magically makes something go away. Teshuvah is merely the equivalent of, okay, so the two of us pulled over to the side of the road and we exchanged information and I took care of it. If I don't do teshuvah, then what happens? I don't pull over to the side of the road and share the information. What's going to happen now? The prosecutor is going to deal with it. But it's not going away. The Rambam explains that even though the blowing of shofar is, of course, Gzeres HaKosuv, and means so much more than anything that we could ever put into words. Nonetheless, it has in it also the element of that the blast itself is meant to be a wake-up call. Uru Yeshenim Mishinaschem. Wake up those of you who are in slumber. It's a wake-up call. And as a wake-up call, what now happens? It smacks my face out of my trance, right? Because I'm living like in this delusional world of oblivion where the things that I did wrong are somehow no big deal. I can just ignore them. Comes along the blowing of the shofar, smacks me in the face, breaks that trance. What do I now realize? That, oh my gosh, the state of affairs is a prosecutional state. I better deal with it. So what do? I deal with it. How do I deal with it? By doing teshuvah. What happens now to the prosecutor? He's out of the picture, right? Because I'm dealing with it on my own. We pull over to the side of the road. So what happens now to the satan, the prosecutor? He's out of the picture. Memela, the blowing of the shofar, kicks the satan out of the picture. And that's exactly what Chazal mean when they say that the shofar gets blown and the satan gets all confused because now, oh, so now I don't have a job anymore. Because my old job is only if you don't pull over to the side of the road, then I have to step in. But if you guys pull over to the side of the road, I don't have to step in. And so memela, the blowing of the shofar, is mebalbel the satan. Does everybody hear this nekuda? Okay. I think this is a very elegant pshat for what is otherwise seems to be a very esoteric chazal. Following this line of thought, we could very well see that that is really what the Torah is describing over here with Pinchas. Bekanoyes kinasi would now really be the equivalent of the way the Rambam learns the blowing of the shofar. The fact that there is a reaction that acts as a wake-up call, and in that wake-up call forces me to deal with my own issues, as opposed to leaving it for the state prosecutor to have to deal with it, that in itself resolves the need for the state prosecutor to have to deal with it. And so memela, in the reaction of Pinchas itself, it follows sensibly that vateyotzer ha-magefa mi'al b'nei Yisrael. Because the magefa is only the state prosecutor stepping in. If I don't have the state prosecutor, if I don't need the state prosecutor to step in, then what? Because I'm going to deal with it on my own. And what's going to make me deal with it on my own? The fact that I can react. And what's going to make me react? The fact that I got a wake-up call. And what's playing the role of the wake-up call? Pinchas' reaction. Memela, I no longer need to resort to the state prosecutor. If I don't need to resort to the state prosecutor, now it makes sense. That's Bat Yotzer HaMageh from Me'al B'nei Yisrael. Okay? This is, like I said when I started, this is the idea that I wanted to share. And even though it doesn't have that much to do with this week's parsha per se, you see, though, how big this is in terms of our own understanding of the whole idea of Teshuvah and Rosh Hashanah and Tkiyas Shofar and all of those things. It all comes down to what it is that the Torah is describing right here in this parsha, in this pasuk, Bekaneis Kinasi. That was many years ago. In 2014, I now know, I can't even tell you the date.
Still many years ago.
I found a Zohar that literally speaks this out. And I want to share the Zohar with you. It is in Parshas Bo, okay, in Chelek Beis, page Mem Aleph. The Zohar over here is talking about the mitzvah that we have of telling over Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it talks about how it is that even though the story is known to all, we know the story, Hashem knows the story, everybody knows the story, nonetheless, there's an obligation to retell the story time and time and time again. Good. I don't want to deal with that. I want to deal with the next part. Continues the Zohar and says, Kigavnada, in this exact same way, Mandi ishtoi umefaret chetoi al kol ma da'avad, one who speaks out all of the averis for all that he has did, itema, you might say, lama yitzrich, why do I need to do that? What's the Zohar asking? What's the purpose of vidur? Why do we have to speak it out? Why do we have to talk it out? What's the purpose of it? Hashem knows what you did. You know what you did. So what's the point of having to speak it out? Continues the Zohar and says, Ela mekatrigo koim todyer kame kucha brichu. The prosecutional state is a constant before Hashem. Begin de li ishtoi l'mitha choyve b'nei noshe, in order to deal with the averis that people have done. Ule mitva aleha indina, and to demand that justice be done. Kevan da'akdim barnash u'mefarit chetay, when a person gets there first, and he speaks out his averes, kol chad v'chad, lo'yashir pitra du'pumala u'mekatriga. So now there's no more job for the prosecution to have to play. And he's no longer able to demand justice. Because it only makes sense that he would have to demand justice if nothing took care of it before him. But if you take care of it before the need for justice to be done, then it's already taken care of. If I pull over to the side of the road and we exchange information, it never goes to court. And therefore, therefore, a person has to get there first. A person should precede the prosecution, and he should deal with his own averus all on his own. Once the prosecutor sees this, I'm not just going to read the translation, okay? I'm just going to translate. Once the prosecutor sees this, he no longer has what to say about the person. And therefore, he leaves him totally. Uchedein ispirash mine mikol v'chol. He leaves him totally and utterly. He is separated from that person. Itav b'tiyufta yeus. If the person does do teshuva, all will be well. V'ilav, but if he doesn't do teshuva, ha'mekatrika ishtekach alei. The prosecutor is there. If you do teshuva and you have dealt with it on your own, you've dealt with it on your own. If you don't, justice still needs to be done. So now we'll just go to the state prosecutor in court instead of you dealing with it on your own. Just going to skip a little bit over here. Okay, that's the main part. How do I close this? That's the main thing. Al-Kuponim, that's the point that I wanted to share for today. That this pasuk of Bekanoyes Kinosi B'Seicham, although it is in this case describing a very specific story, it is much more than just this specific story. It is a description, a logical and sensible description of how it is that our Averes and Din and Teshuva and Rosh Hashanah and Kiyas Shofar, all of it work along the same exact lines, and all of this can be derived from this simple fact, Bekanoi Eskinasi B'Seicham, in the ability to react, and through that reaction, break a trance. And once the trance is broken, I now can be the one who pulls over to the side of the road on my own. It no longer needs to go to the state prosecutor. It does not need to go to court. Okay? Yeah, that's what I wanted to share for today.